Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to another beautiful, beautiful day in New York City. Evan and Tiki on The Fan for 4.5 wonderful hours. We have a very busy show today. Knicks got screwed last night. I'll explain why coming up at exactly 2:47. Pete Alonso's next contract's going to look like what? Plus a lot of football. Get you set for a big Giant game and a big Jet game coming up on Sunday. But a few days ago, I made a very passionate case as a Met fan for why they have to sign Juan Soto. No excuses. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about years. I don't want to hear about money. Well, today as an IBO, I explained to you the same is true for the New York Yankees. They can't lose him. And the thing that kind of boggles my mind, and I got a feeling Tiki's like, oh, don't get crazy, Evan. I'm not crazy. I'm real. And I'll say this about the Mets. I'm going to say it about the Yankees. There is no amount of money that will scare me off. And there's no amount of years that will scare me off. Try me. And if you're Hal Steinbrenner and you are running the New York bleeping Yankees who traded for this man a year ago, the New York Yankees who won the American League pennant for a myriad of reasons, maybe the main one being Juan Soto, then you could tell me the years, you can tell me the money. There is no excuse if you are the freaking Yankees for getting outbid on Juan Soto.
Why? Is there no excuse?
Couple of reasons. Number one, you're the Yankees. So Financially, this should not be an issue.
But financially, it's not an issue for a lot of teams at this point. There are billionaires. You did this the other day.
Yeah.
All over Major League Baseball right now. And obviously, your owner is one. The guy in Baltimore is another. The guy in Toronto is another one. They're all over. Dodgers, obviously, are multi-billions with the private equity firm that owns them. There's billionaires all over Major League Baseball.
Sure,
it's not just a one- or two-man show any longer.
But you know what the difference is, though? Because you're right. They all have the ability to do it. Other than Steve Cohen, who's a real wild card in this whole thing, all of those other owners will walk away at some point. There'll be a number in which they say, that's too rich for us. There's an amount of years in which they say, that's too rich for us. We don't know about Steve Cohen, and I've already given the warning as a Met fan. He should never walk away from it. But if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, and I run the Yankees, and I made the commitment to trading for this gentleman a year ago, then I'm playing that same poker game where there is no amount of money, as absurd as it may get, there's no amount of years, as absurd as that may sound, where I would say I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
And so I'm in this fight till the bitter end because I'm the Yankees. He's my player. I traded for this player. And I also know my avenue to winning a world championship is paved a lot clearer if Juan Soto's on my team.
I mean, there's no doubt about that because of how great of a player he is. But this is now, this is now a business conversation from how much money you can afford or want to spend and then how much is it going to take. And, you know, there's a thought in other sports. I think basketball, to an extent, works this way. Football definitely works this way because I saw it happen last year with the Chicago Bears when they traded for Montez Sweat. The reason they traded for him in the middle of the season was because they didn't want to draft an edge rusher, and or maybe they didn't love the edge rushers coming out in the 2024 draft, so they traded for Montez Sweat to get him there and to basically be able to have exclusive negotiating rights with Montez Sweat. Mm-hmm. Now, less than a week later, they signed him to a long-term extension. In football, basketball, that happens. In baseball, that doesn't happen.
Very rarely.
Because guys want to get to free agency.
Especially when you're that close to it.
Exactly. But Montez Sweat was close to it. But right. In football, it's kind of like, dude, you're willing to pay me? All right, we're good, man. Because the market is kind of set. You know what you're getting because there's been so many other guys who have made about the same amount of money that you've made. And maybe you'll get a, I don't know, 5% raise on what the standard is for your position. But in baseball, because it's so rare that someone like Juan Soto at his age and his talent level is a free agent, there's no precedent.
Right.
Like, what's the example that you can use to say, well, this is about what it's going to cost. Let's try to budget this thing.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
It's tough
because the only thing you can do is sit and wait for Scott Boras to tell you how much it's going to cost.
No, you're right, because the most comparable free agent to Juan Soto is Bryce Harper from about 5 years ago. Well, number one, Juan Soto's better.
Yeah, okay? That feels like a different world.
It does. And it's a different world because of who was involved in it and who wasn't involved in it. The New York Mets were owned by the Wilpons. Jeff Wilpon made a public comment about interest in Bryce Harper by saying, well, we already have a $300 million guy. How many teams have two? So they weren't in it. The Yankees weren't in it either. They made a decision a year earlier to go after Giancarlo Stanton, and Brian Cashman was like, we don't have room for him. So the marketplace for Bryce Harper, who's not as good as Juan Soto, by the way, and if you don't believe me, I could bore you with stats, but if you go back to where Bryce was upon getting to free agency versus where Juan Soto was, I'll be honest with you, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It's not even close based on reliability in terms of staying healthy, and it's not even close in terms of who's the better baseball player.
Right.
And Bryce Harper got a 13-year contract for over $300
million. 300? Come on now.
Minor league stuff.
I mean, that's half of what Juan Soto's going to make.
But the Mets and the Yankees. But the Mets and the Yankees weren't involved.
Yes.
Honestly, if those two teams were where they were now for
saying it would have been higher?
I think it could have been, yeah. Not as high as what Soto's going to get, because Soto's better.
Yeah,
but I think it could have been different.
I just also think the money has exploded so much in really all of sports. I mean, it's getting ludicrous. I mean, these guys are CEO paid individuals on sports teams. And so the money is different. Even in the last 5 years, it's exploded. But to me, the hardest part about this Juan Soto dilemma for, the Yankees, because they had him and now he's completely free and they didn't have exclusive negotiating rights. Because guess what? I don't think they negotiated during the regular season.
I think they may have tried and then Scott said, cute.
Right.
Not doing it.
Maybe. Whatever. It didn't happen.
Right.
It's not like they came out of, you know, 162 game regular season and had this edge over the Mets or whoever else is going to throw their hat into the ring for Juan Soto. And so they're kind of sitting at the same level place as everybody else.
Right now they are. But ultimately, when it gets down to the nitty gritty, I would not be comfortable with allowing any other team or any other owner to outbid me. Like, I'm the Yankees. I'm Hal Steinbrenner.
But what does that even mean?
It means you cannot lose this because someone offered more money or more years. Can't happen. I would not accept that if I'm a Yankee fan. And I said the same thing about the Mets, which makes this so wild. Like, if both owners took my advice, he may get $1 billion.
Right, there's an impasse. Something's got to break.
Right.
Either your business breaks because you're paying a guy basically the value of your franchise, or I don't know, he ends up somewhere else.
But think about it this way, and I've heard this over the last few days, and I will respectfully criticize two of my coworkers, one a Yankee fan, one a Met fan. I'll criticize their opinion, one of which, BT, Yankee fan, the other which, Boomer Esiason, Met fan. They both expressed, and I'm sure a lot in the audience may say, oh, they're right, Evan, you're an idiot. Fine. They both expressed concern with years. I heard both of them in different ways say, I'm good with 10 years. I'm good with 11 years. But 13, I can't go to. I can't do that. And I'm paraphrasing at what point that year got uncomfortable to them. But I heard the same garbage about Aaron Judge. Well, I'll give Aaron Judge 7 years, but I can't go to 8 or 9. Why? The Yankees went to 9, and I think we'd all admit we're cool with the fact that they went to 9. So let's play the Juan Soto game, because the years thing does not scare me. I'm not afraid, and it does cost me money. I'm a season ticket holder. I can only know what my prices will look like when Juan Soto signs a 25-year contract. 15, to be realistic. Here's why I think it's absurd to get so nuts about those years. We're talking about, what's 15 years from today?
15 years would be 2039.
2039. Oh, are we serious?
Jeez, 2039.
Are we freaking out? We're concerned about 2039? We're going to walk away from a generational talent because of 2039? Because you're worried about Juan Soto in 2030? I wipe my ass with 2039. Like, that is so far away from now that those years, those 2 or 3 years that may be the difference, to me are completely worth it. Because if I get the great player that I know he is for the first 10 years, I'll live with the fact that the back end is bad. Because on the back end of the contract, guess who's not on my books if I'm the New York Yankees? Aaron Judge will be in a retirement home.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole, Giancarlo Stanton, Francisco Lindor on the Mets side. So I know it sounds really bad. And I know it's like, well, 11 I can do, but 12, I can't go there. Respectfully, I think you guys are all nuts.
Yeah, the years aren't the number, aren't the problem. It's the big, it's the overall number that people, I think, are really worried about. But the more years you put on, the bigger the number can
be. Correct. It makes it sound bigger than it is. But if we're looking at a salary of $45 million a year or $48 million a year or $50 million a year, what are we really talking about?
Yeah, and you wonder also, I remember this one. Who was it with the 49ers that got the big contract? And we're like, why are you giving him that contract? Oh, it was Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember they gave Garoppolo a $100 million contract?
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, Jimmy Garoppolo is making $26 million a year. And Kyle Shanahan said at the time, he's like, by the end of this contract, he'll be so underpaid, it won't make any sense.
Right.
Now, he wasn't because he wasn't good enough. He couldn't stay healthy. But think about Jimmy Garoppolo still playing. Think about where the number is now. It's at 50 plus.
So you're saying, what does that number even look like in 2035?
That's right. So in 2039 or even 2035, so let's say 10 years from now, 11 years from now, the number that the top end guys are making on shorter deals is likely to be on par or greater.
Exactly.
Than this.
And look, it could go the other way. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely to go the other way, but sure, in 12 years, $50 million a year may be even more absurd than it is today, but that is not scaring me if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, and it shouldn't scare me. And it certainly shouldn't scare you as a fan. Like, really? 12 years, yes? 14 years, no? What are we talking about here? Like, to secure this baseball player, this brilliant, brilliant offensive player, this 26-year-old stud, this guy who's going to be great for a decade. I don't know what he is in year 13, but what I'm telling you is stop worrying about year 13.
Yeah.
We don't even know if we're going to exist
right. In
year 13.
It's kind of the same thing you could say about Francisco Lindor, his deal, which is big in 10 years from now. But think about that. That's 2034.
It's a long time from now.
It's a long time from now. Like, you have to worry about it.
There's so many factors. Like, I just read a story out of South Carolina that 30 monkeys that were being genetically tested, they escaped. We all know where this goes. They're going to get smart. They're going to turn on us. They're going
to... Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Run our government? There won't even be baseball in 12 years!
Are you being serious?
The story is real.
See Tiki in an hour. This is a rabbit hole. He's definitely going down.
What the heck?
Oh, yeah, I don't make this stuff up.
Are they being genetically engineered and being given serums that, you know, help some sort of disease?
Here's what I will tell
you. Maybe an adult had?
Here's what I'll tell you. Police have warned South Carolina residents to secure their doors and windows after 40 monkeys escaped a research facility. We know where this goes. So here's my point. All right? And maybe that's not the best example. Maybe the financial example is the best one. But we may not exist in 13 years. So to get hung up on the years that you're giving Juan Soto is a mistake. Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen, but for the sake of right now, Hal Steinbrenner, can't make that mistake. And if I'm a New York Yankee fan, I would deem it unacceptable to lose Juan Soto in free agency because another team outbid me. Can't happen.
You're forgetting the unwritten agreement the Yankees have with their owner and their fans have with their owner. And that's, we don't complain when hat prices have gone from $25 to $45. We don't complain about the price of Mr. Softy. We don't complain about all of this. And you know why we don't complain? Because we know deep down, as much as we do complain about Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, that when push comes to shove, our money is good there because we know that Hal's money is good everywhere. And you don't tease the fan base. And that's what Juan Soto was this year. If you let him walk, he was one giant tease. We've been teased. We have a taste. Now we're paying for the whole lap dance for 15 years, baby. If you want us ponying up that money, Yankees and Al Steinbrenner, and you want the fans happy, this breaks the agreement if you let him walk over dollars when you have signed guys who have injury prone, less money, but still a lot of money. Carlos Rodon, our beloved Aaron Judge, no sign of injuries, a guy that plays every day and a top five player in baseball, and we tasted it. We will continue to pay exorbitant prices, but you better keep them. If not, we might be done as a fan base.
That's the risk, Tiki, I think, that Hal and the Yankees have.
Yeah.
That enough Yankee fans would be that pissed off. And my question for Yankee fans, and if you disagree, I'll respectfully argue with you, but is there really, honestly, is there really a number that would make you say, nah, it's too much. Hal made the right decision. Let him go.
No.
Not in a sport without a salary cap, there isn't.
No, you're right. And there can't be a number. I mean, I know that some people will try to count somebody else's money, but there can't be a number because there shouldn't be a number unless the Major League Baseball Players Association agree, which they never, ever, ever, ever will, to have a capped, you know, equal the playing field top on what players can make. That'll never happen. You don't need to worry about how much money it costs because an owner's not going to do it unless he can.
Right.
So whatever it is, it is.
And that's why the Yankees are similar to the Mets, where if you don't re-sign him and you aren't the highest bidder, there will be hell to pay. Because there is no excuse if you're Hal Steinbrenner or you're Steve Cohen, but in the case of right now, Hal Steinbrenner, to be outbid. Now, when Robinson Cano left and he went to Seattle, I was right here on WFAN talking to Yankee fans. And most Yankee fans, not the minority, most of them said, you know what? I'm glad they didn't give him what he wanted. He wasn't worth it. And ultimately, the Yankee fan turned out to be right. Juan Soto is not Robinson Cano. So do the Yankee fans declare in one loud voice today that it doesn't matter how many years it ends up being. It doesn't matter how much money it is per year. It doesn't matter what the full package is. It is unacceptable to not be the highest bidder for Juan Soto because that's where I stand as an IBO. It's not acceptable. Are you really walking away because it's $50 million a year? Are you really walking away because it's 14 years instead of 12 years? I strongly disagree with that notion. And let this be a warning for Hal and for Steve. No excuses. I don't want to hear it. Now, maybe some people buy it. I do not.
Who has it worse if they don't end up with him?
Hal Steinbrenner.
I think you're right.
Hal Steinbrenner
I mean, so the argument you made earlier in the week for Steve Cohen to sign Juan Soto, and it's really because he's the richest owner and he can offer $10 million more than the next bidder, whatever it may be, whatever the number may be. But for Hal, it's because you had him.
Yes.
And the last thing you want to do is lose him.
It's having him first. See, when the Yankees traded for him a little bit less than a year ago, it was great. You were going for it, and it was well worth it, despite what you gave up. But along with that comes the pressure of, you can't lose him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will be disappointed as a Met fan, and I will be angry as a Met fan if they don't end up with Steve Cohen.
Yep.
So it's not to say he's off scot-free. We, as our own little group, will be upset. But once you bought the guy, which you did via trading for him, you can't lose him. And to me, there's no amount of years and no amount of money that would make me turn on this microphone and say, well, gee, that was too much. I'm good with letting him go. That may be the case for Gleyber Torres. That may be the case for Corbin Burnes. That may be the case for any other free agent you want to talk about. It is not the case for Juan Soto. We'll get your opinions on it, Yankee fans. Are you with me? Do you stand behind me that there is no excuse? No amount of years will scare you off. No amount of money will scare you off. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. 888-808-1019. A lot to do today, including coming up right around 247, how the Knicks got screwed last night. I know a lot of Knicks fans are upset about losing last night. Believe it or not, something happened last night that you may not have even picked up on that really cost you. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. A lot of football as well. A lot going on here on this busy Thursday. Some football to get to, including Tiki Barber probably giving a unfavorable opinion on something a rookie had to say recently after making a horrible error in the midst of an NFL game.
You know how I love rookies.
We'll hear from Malachi Corley coming up in a little bit, plus an explanation on last night's Knick game and why you should be pissed off as a Knick fan. But we're talking about Juan Soto. Unfortunately, we will be talking about Juan Soto for weeks and weeks and weeks until he signs. And to me, the New York Yankees cannot be outbid. It's unacceptable. Now, can the Yankees win a world championship without Juan Soto? Of course they can. In fact, I got a stat for you. Do you know that every single World Series champion since 2019 has not had Juan Soto on their team? So, of course, it's possible. It makes it more difficult. Look, there are backup plans. I've got one for the New York Yankees.
Pete Alonso?
There are backup plans. Not really, actually. There are backup plans for the New York Mets without Juan Soto, but they're not as good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, they're plans and they're fine and they could work, but they're not as good as keeping, in the Yankees' case, a 26-year-old generational talent. So the years wouldn't scare me, the money wouldn't scare me, and this may shock you, Tiki. There are Yankee fans who disagree. There are Yankee fans who must be, I don't know, Hal Steinbrenner's accountant, who have strong opinions. We'll hear from you at 888-808-1019. Ray in Brooklyn, how are you, Ray?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Good afternoon. Good to talk to you guys again. And listen, I wholeheartedly disagree with you, Evan. And the reason why, it's not because I'm Hal Steinbrenner's accountant. It's because I'm just not going to overpay. No, guys, for real. I'm just not going to grossly overpay for a glorified DH, right? And here's another thing. Hold on. I watched him play 162 games.
Yeah.
And he cost us, and especially in game one of the World Series, is underrated. We would have won that game 2-0 if it wasn't for him in right field. And here's the other thing, right? We want to compare him to Judge and Ohtani. Ohtani's getting $700 million for being an ace and a great everyday, DH or player. And Judge is getting his $36 to $40 million for being the best everyday player on the planet. How can we justify giving this guy $700 million, which would be what? 65?
I'll tell you why. Because I'll give you a few answers. And I see what you're doing. I don't like it. I think you're doing negative campaigning against Juan Soto. And I thought political season was over. But number one, Juan Soto is significantly younger than both players. Mm-hmm. And I think you're paying for what you think a player can accomplish for you. Aaron Judge, and he had a great year this year, so I don't want to say he's out of his prime, but he's closer to being out of his prime than Juan Soto is. So I think that's one thing that's a huge factor in this, Ray. Age matters.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying that it doesn't.
Number two, since you paused and let me continue. How did Shohei Ohtani pitch this year? Like, what was his ERA? How many innings did he throw?
Okay, but he's still being paid for being a pitcher and a hitter. The fact that he got injured and couldn't pitch has nothing to
do
with
it. Here's why it does, Ray. Here's why it does, respectfully.
Hold on. Let me just say this.
Okay.
Juan Soto, right, cannot bring a carrier team to the playoffs. There's only one player in the history of the sport that I've seen do that. That's Aaron Judge. Ohtani couldn't do it with Mike Trout and himself as a pitcher. And Juan Soto, the Padres got better when he left. They actually couldn't stand him, and they didn't make the playoffs with a stacked roster and lineup. And then this year, all of a sudden, they're a great team again, and they were this close to beating LA.
That is so unfair. That is so unfair. That's crap. That's crap. What did Fernando Tatis Jr. do the year they didn't have success and Juan Soto was carrying their lazy asses? What did Manny Machado do that year when Juan Soto had a war that was double Manny Machado? What'd he do? That's not fair. Don't just throw that out there because people didn't watch the Padres that year. That's BS. You're blaming the Padres for missing the playoffs on Juan Soto? What that proves to me is you're either lying to the audience, and you're not, Ray, because you're a good, honorable man, or You're purposely misleading them, which is a little bit different than a lie. Well, saying that about Soto is wrong, it's unfair, and it sounds like you're campaigning negatively against him because you don't think you're keeping him.
Well, that Padres team was flawed, so it's hard to look at it and talk about the Juan Soto non-effect. Now, he wasn't great, obviously.
I disagree. I think he was very good that year. He had a 930 OPS, hit 35 home runs, led the team in RBIs, was clearly their best player. Saying they missed the playoffs because of him is BS garbage.
Well, what year was he hurt?
He's never hurt.
He was there.
He struggled in 2022.
When he first got traded there.
And they got to the NLCS.
Right. Right. That was a year that maybe just the effect of him pushed them to the NLCS. Right. So last year he was fine.
He was fine.
It was the year before where he struggled. That's when his OPS was the same as Vogelbach's, right?
Yeah, got that from me.
He was
Pete
bad.
Hoffman took that from the Rico right, and handed it to him.
But you know what I mean? But
yes.
He wasn't fantastic with the Padres. But change of scenery, middle of the season, you know, trade. It's hard, it's difficult. Whatever. When he got stabilized, he had a pretty good year a year ago. Stabilized with the Yankees. He had a great year this year.
A year ago with the San Diego Padres, he was far and away their best player.
Yeah.
They won 82 games. And Ray says that's Juan Soto's fault. As far as his defense, look, he's an average defensive right fielder.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I think he's so good offensively
I think the problem that people are having is they're worried about the money for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. It's not your money.
What's wrong with you people?
Now, it shows up in ticket prices, potentially. Probably that's more on the secondary market, though, to be honest with you. The money is going to get recruited if he's successful by the owners because of jersey sales, because of attendance, because of all the other economic metrics that determine paying a player. You talk about Shohei Ohtani going to the Dodgers. He's not making anything. I mean, he is, but he's not really. So much of that is deferred. The Dodgers are like, we'll take that hit in 20, whatever it is, 40, 50, whenever he's going to get paid the bulk of that money. Because in the interim, people are going to care about the Dodgers.
And not only that.
And we're going to win championships, and we're going to get all these Japanese players. We're going to expand our market share by humongous numbers internationally. It's a business play.
100%. And the pitching part of Ohtani that really annoys me, I don't mean to degrade him because he is something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
But you knew he had Tommy John surgery when he got to free agency. When you were signing Shohei Ohtani, you knew he wasn't pitching for a year. So what does that mean? It means that you knew if you're the Dodgers, you knew if you were me as a Met fan, that there was a major risk that this guy will barely pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So when we act about how much he's getting paid because he's a pitcher in theory. That's all he is. Because he didn't pitch this season,
right.
And he's coming off Tommy John surgery, and he's trying to continue to do something that we've never seen in the history of baseball.
And by the way,
I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about his salary being because he does double.
And
they would be lucky to get a third of his pitching over the life of that contract.
And he just... He had surgery.
That's my point.
So he had another surgery on his shoulder. The kid's been cut on a lot. 3 times already.
So that's why including him as a pitcher, yeah, but it's not double. You're signing him with the hope he's going to be able to pitch. There's no guarantee he's ever going to be healthy. Like, if you had to make this bet right now on how many innings Shohei Ohtani's going to throw over the life of the contract, what do you think that number's even going to look like? How many innings do you really think he's going to throw? I'm going to argue with Soto haters all day, and you're going to like it. Oh, I love it. And Yankee fans ripping him? Oh, screw you people. Come on. He just led you to the World Series.
We don't claim them.
Thank you, Sean. You're on my good side today.
Thanks, Steph.
Less than 2,000?
Less than 2,000 what?
Over the length of the contract.
He's thinking about it.
Ohtani innings pitched.
2,000 innings? What are you, nuts? He won't get the 200 innings. Think about it.
Is he even going to pitch next year? He's got a labrum in one arm.
I mean, Shohei Ohtani and his...
I'm talking about the length of the contract.
Yeah, okay.
It's 10 more years, right?
He's thrown 481 innings in his career. His career now is about 7 seasons in the major leagues.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, so when I said...
You're right.
How many innings is he throwing, and now he's 30?
500.
You're going with 500? I'll take the under.
I'd take the under, too.
I'll take the under.
Wow.
Yeah. So they paid him for the idea and the hope that he's going to be able to pitch. And, you know, take this as a...
Because at some point, he's just not going
to
pitch.
I don't think he's going to be able to sustain.
Bullpen arm.
Okay. And let's see how long he sustains that pitching.
But still, that's not getting you to, you know, 200 innings a year.
No, he's not getting to that number. Dan's in the Bronx. Hey, Dan.
Hey. I can't believe what I'm hearing from Evan. He's usually so on it. And you too, Tiki. I look, I'll admit that Soto's a generational talent, but nobody's mentioning that baseball is different. You don't get to put the ball in the hands of Michael Jordan at crunch time. You know, like, they lost this series. You know, Soto played great, but you know, it, because of the bottom third of their lineup, because of you know, catching and. Unless you think there's just a completely unhinged amount of money for everything else, you know, would that, I mean, I'm just putting this out as a talking point.
Go ahead.
Would not money maybe better serve the Yankees by getting a great first baseman, by getting a great catcher, by getting everyday players
No, and I'll tell you why. Because I know that's a great retort that I hear a lot. Like, if you're willing to give Juan Soto $50 million, why not take that money and give it to other players? Right. Okay, I'll tell you why I completely disagree with you. In the short term, what is it? Alex Bregman at $27 million? Okay, great. What's it next? All right, I'm going to get a starting pitcher. Shohei Manaea at $18 million. Great. By the way, I'm already almost at the figure that Soto's getting. Now, when you don't sign Soto, and let's say Bregman's not your third baseman, someone else is your third baseman. That person won't be as good as Alex Bregman, but he's probably not going to be a zero war player. He's going to be a major leaguer who gets that opportunity, along with the fact that I've got the great Juan Soto in my lineup. So in the short term, if it's a tag team match between, well, would you rather have Bregman and Manaea versus Soto and someone else making a lot less, the odds are Soto. And that's number one. Number two, think long term. Most of these free agents are in their 30s, and you're hoping they're giving you a couple of good years. And then what happens? They're gone or their contract stinks. While that happens, Juan Soto's in his prime. So it's not just 1 year, it's 4 years from now.
Yeah, because it's not. There's been a shift in the NFL that we've seen where you see these massive deals getting done, but they're 4 years. 3-4 years, basically. I mean, hell, Daniel Jones, we screamed and yelled about his contract. It's basically 2 years.
Right.
And then they can get out of it. Major League Baseball is not at that point yet where some of these guys aren't getting any years or having to settle with the Scott Boras clients. But for the most part, if you're going to sign a long-term deal, you're signing a long-term deal, and it's taking you out of your prime. The other sports it's different. So with Juan Soto and any other of these baseball players that sign in free agency, the deal could look great, and in 2 years it could look terrible.
Right. I don't think
with Juan Soto, it's less likely to look terrible.
Yeah, I'm basically telling you that at 26 years old, I think you have 10 great years out of him. Now, what happens at the back end of the contract? I admit it could be ugly. No, I'm not concerning myself with 2040. I'm sorry, I'm not losing sleep over 2039. Mm-hmm. So I get the back end may be bad. But no, I disagree with that premise that you're better off not having him. Now, there are backup plans. I've got one. I've got a few. It doesn't mean you're a lost cause. It just means you're not as good. You're not as good when you subtract this kind of player away. Hence why, if I'm the New York Yankees or the New York Mets, I'm going all the way with this. I'm not going to be afraid by the amount of years or the amount of money because I think this is the rare player that's completely worth it. Craig's in Stamford, Connecticut. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
So, first thing, Tiki, I've been a Giant fan since the Tucker Fredrickson days.
Oh,
so
long
it's
time.
A really long time.
Long time.
And I got to tell you, you were my favorite forever.
Appreciate
so, whatever,
you,
60 years worth, you're the man.
Thank you,
and
Craig.
I'm hoping you get inducted.
One of these days.
Crossing fingers. So, I saw this chart like a week or two ago. It compared major league team revenues and salaries, and the Yankees had like $300 million salary, but their revenue was top in the league, $600 and some odd million this year, right?
Right.
So you know that's only going to go up over the next 15 years anyway, and revenue at the back end of his deal is probably going to hit $1 billion or more. So at like that point, however much you're paying him, $50 million a year is negligible.
Right.
And if you think about the other part of it is you just let Glaber go, you let Rizzo go, you let a bunch of other free agents off the books, so you already have the money to pay for him today.
No doubt.
If you're...
No doubt. No, I agree with you, Craig. And I brought this up the other day, and Tiki points out that we don't know how accurate the data is that Forbes has, but the chart he's referring to is team's payroll in comparison to the revenue they brought in a year earlier and the percentage that they spend on payroll. So the New York Mets were number one.
Yeah.
They brought in $393 million and their payroll was $342, which means it's 87% of their revenue. The New York Yankees, even having a $316 million payroll, were 18th. Because their revenue was $679, which far and away was number one in Major League Baseball.
And that's a guess.
That's a guess.
That's not even, we don't know what that number actually is. It could be higher.
Yes.
We do know what the payroll is. I mean, that's the only certainty in that conversation.
But if you take these numbers at, not that they're completely accurate, but
just
they're
just
in the ballpark.
They're in the ballpark. The Yankees are well in the black.
No doubt, which means if they're spending 46% of their revenue on payroll and it's 18th in the league, they've got wiggle room to go to 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the player that's worth it. There are a lot of players that aren't worth it. I mentioned Robbie Cano earlier because that's the only example that we all come up with of someone willingly leaving the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
And yeah, he willingly left the New York Yankees because the Yankees drew a line in the sand.
Right.
And said, we love you, we like you, but not to this number.
Right.
I'm not drawing a line with Juan Soto.
But he was also older. I mean, much.
Yeah, he was. I think he was about, I got to double check that. I would guess off the top of my head he was 30 or 31.
Yeah.
He was also not
4 years older than Juan Soto.
He was also not as good.
No.
It's the other aspect of it. Yeah, and he was represented by Scott Boras. No, I don't think he was Scott Boras. Wasn't he Jay-Z, I think? So he was going into his age 31 season.
Yeah, he was. He was Rock.
Rock Nation.
Yep.
He was going into his age 31 season, and he was a very productive New York Yankee, 860 OPS, 309 batting average. But the Yankees drew a line in the sand, and they ultimately turned out to be right. This is far different.
Hmm.
I ain't drawing any lines in the sand for Juan Soto. Let's go to Tom in Freehold. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Wanted to talk about why we keep Juan Soto, and my number one is protection of that lineup. You're going on year three of a 9-year contract for Aaron Judge, and knowing the season that he's coming off of, you still need protection in that lineup for that number three hitter.
Right.
And Juan Soto is the guy that gives it to him. Between walks, hits, and anything else, and even having throw-around guys in that lineup, Juan Soto can make up for two guys with his OPS and everything else compared to other rosters. Not to mention, how many times have we gone back and forth through a Yankee outfield and funneled through certain guys? Cabrera, Bader, and then finally we're trying to put our stamp on two solidified outfielders, all-stars, Judge and Soto, and those are your two driving forces right there.
Yeah.
You're going to have, and that's your, and just the age with Judge and Soto and the difference of that age, you're having a guy protect an older guy with his batting skills and abilities throughout that, the course of his contract.
There. That is a great point. That's a brilliant point by Tom. Juan Soto's prime, which is right now, is going to be as Aaron Judge is aging, mm-hmm. as Aaron Judge is leaving his prime. So, A, he serves as protection, which I do think matters. I know there's a school of thought that protection is overrated. I think protection is very important in a lot of ways of life, by the way. And also, he then takes that mantle away from Aaron Judge as he gets older, where you're not just missing the 55 home run player because Aaron Judge is getting older. Juan Soto's still kicking ass.
Right. And that's the crux of it, is that you're kind of like stacking your talent.
Yeah.
So that, and they're not all the same age, so they're not all likely to expire at the same time. Giancarlo Stanton will be first, where he just kind of fades out. Then Judge will be there, and then Juan Soto will still be around.
No doubt. Him and Dominguez in the middle of the lineup would be great for years to come.
And that's the plan, too, by the way. Yeah. Like, it allows the pressure to not be as high on Jason Dominguez, because if you lose Juan Soto, and I have great respect for Alex Bregman, and obviously you guys know how I feel about Pete Alonso. Those guys, while they're nice players mm-hmm. and they're good players, and we can argue all day if they're the right consolation prizes, they're not Juan Soto.
No.
And they're not particularly close either.
And forget the home runs, forget the walks, forget anything. After watching 162 Juan Soto games, above anything else, you know what Juan Soto did for the Yankees? He changed the other eight guys in that lineup's approach. I watched that entire team take way more pitches than they did. Maybe that's not statistically proven, but it certainly felt like the Juan Soto effect on a personal basis. Everybody learned from Juan Soto in that lineup, and that's not tangible.
More of your Juan Soto calls coming up in a few minutes. A lot of football to get to as well. But last night, the Knicks lost a game they shouldn't have lost. And I think we all know that. Whether it's 6 games into a season, 7 games into a season, or 75 games into a season, when you have a 5-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go against an average Atlanta Hawk team, you win that game. They blew that game. All right? They were a mess in the final 2.5 minutes of this game. I also thought they came out very flat in this game. Now, I give them a lot of credit. One of my critiques over the last few days is they've got to shoot more threes. They did, and I commend them for that. I also commend Tom Thibodeau for trying to play Tyler Kolek for more than 5.5 minutes. And then finally, when he had a missed defensive assignment, he took Tyler Kolek's ass and said, you're going on the bench. But the Knicks got hosed last night. I want to walk you through how it happened. So Karl Anthony Towns, who played very well last night, hit a three that put the Knicks up by 5 with about 3 minutes to go. Okay? On the other end, Trae Young, who was so incredibly overrated, got blocked by Karl Anthony Towns. It was a great defensive play. Mm-hmm. I don't love Cat defensively, but that was a great defensive play by Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, rule of verticality went straight up.
No verticality. The officials called it a goaltend. It was not a goaltend. Now, you may be saying, Evan, I watched the game. Are you going to mention that the Knicks challenged it and they overturned it? Oh, of course I will. So the Knicks call a timeout. They challenge it. Obviously, the officials fixed the call. From that moment on, the Knicks were broken. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart missed a three. Jalen Johnson made a three. OG missed a three. That rookie first-round pick, that number one overall pick, that I don't want to screw the name of up, even though I tried to pronounce it all night watching him kick ass. Reassure. He made a floater in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jalen Brunson, who sucked last night, let's just call it like it is.
Missed the free throw.
Missed a huge free throw. And then, when Daniels missed that shot by the basket, Clint Capella, what you're going to do about it, grabbed the big offensive rebound, got fouled. Here's the point. The Knicks went downhill after that. And it felt like the missed call, even though they got it right, just killed all the Knicks' momentum. Because who knows what happens on that play after a clean block shot without the officials blowing a whistle. So
right, because they got the rebound.
Right.
They got possession.
And who knows what happens next?
Of course.
Could be a fast break. I don't know. And it's not an excuse, because look, the Knicks have to then recover. Like, they then need a basket down the stretch and not settle for Josh Hart missing a long three and OG missing a long three. And really, the offense looked completely out of sync in those final few minutes. But I'm telling you, man, IBO, I'm proving my IBO-ness right now.
No, you're not wrong.
That call changed everything.
Right, they turned into a shell of what they were doing. Because Karl Anthony Towns played an unbelievable game.
He played great.
Yeah, 30-something point, 36-point, whatever it was.
Now, the negative is, can Jalen Brunson, the king, the everything he is, can he find Karl Anthony Towns in the paint late in the final 2 minutes of the game? Can you do that? Instead of just chucking up threes, can we do that?
It's still early in the year. You should not be worried about this, Knicks fans. It pisses you off, obviously, but it's on the road. You get some bad calls, but this team, as always, starts slow. And then eventually they're going to find themselves.
Preach, Tiki. See, this is what people are going to forget. Everything I just said, I'm not talking about the whole season. I'm talking about one game. I'm talking about a basketball game on a Wednesday night.
Right. The problem is it puts them behind the nets right now.
I never brought that up.
But I'm preemptively going there. So a team that should be tanking has a better record than the team who's giving them all their picks.
The only thing, say that again, that was sexy. The only thing you should worry about standings-wise, because Tiki made a very good point that I want Knicks fans to remember. In the seasons of success, like last year and the year before, they've gotten off to 3-4, 2-4 starts. Like, this is not an uncommon thing. So it's not just the new pieces on the roster. They get off to slow starts. So I think it's good to point that out before anyone panics. The only thing I'd worry about an early slow start, and it's not even the identity, because it'll come. It's not even the depth, because trust me, that'll come too. It's that you don't want to bury yourself behind Cleveland and Boston. Mm. I mean, the Cavs are 9-0. And maybe hiring Kenny Atkinson is really changing everything. Other than Cleveland and Boston, the East is completely mediocre. The Bucks may end up selling guys off. The Sixers are the laughing stock of the league. Now Tyrese Maxey's out for a few weeks. So they're still in a great standing spot, 3 and under. But if you get off to a bad start and the Cavs are 17-3, you don't want to put yourself in a hole.
Yeah.
That's the only negative, but there's actually one more negative.
Well, it makes the playoff journey harder, but keep going.
There's one more negative. I wasn't happy about this. I'm not happy with Tommy.
Why? What did Tommy do?
Tommy, you committed a crime against sports fandom last night.
What?
You did.
How so?
You morashed it?
Yeah, he morashed it, all right.
Let's not make that a verb.
So, before you respond, and I will definitely give you a chance to respond, I do want to explain that we as a show have a text chat. And in said text chat, Sean Morash was the, he was the guy that was being a douchey man last night. He started texting about the Knick game. Now, I was behind. I like to watch these games meticulously. So he kind of spoiled what was about to happen. I didn't like that. But, Sean was being Sean, which I respect. Nets are ahead of the Knicks. That
lottery pick is looking valuable.
I didn't add anything. I didn't think it was necessary. And Tommy, while he went on Twitter to do his shtick, blew off the text chat. And to me, that's skipping the podium.
No, it's not.
That is skipping the podium when you don't communicate with the great Tiki Barber.
Dude, you're missing the team meeting, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't address the locker room.
Zeke got, like, benched for that.
I didn't take.
You might have to lose a game check, bro.
I didn't take the bait. If you wanted to have a basketball conversation after a Knick game, I'm always willing to do that. What I will not, you know, conduct with is seven games into the season having this guy troll, because I know what was happening, because I know what the deal is.
What's that?
Sean works for Evan. So Sean will gas me up as Evan sits there from his ivory tower. And if I engage with Sean, Evan will come with the big guns. And now I'm here, it's 1 a.m, and I'm fighting with both of them. I didn't take the bait. We could have a basketball conversation. But he's trying to gas me up with Trae Young. He's trying to gas me up with the Nets. And I'm not going to do that.
I will respond with this. If the Knicks had won that game and didn't blow the 5-point lead in the final few minutes, are you texting?
No.
That's BS. Nah. That's not true, Teak. You know that's not true.
Definitely not true.
That's not true.
You are commenting in some capacity.
You would be talking about good quality. You would say something. So I think Teak has a great analogy.
Win on the road. Great win on the road.
Yeah. Stick it, Trae Young. You met the media by going on social media.
Yes, I did. I felt like last night was a good night to send a tweet like that out.
But you skipped the team meeting.
No, because there is no team in that spot. It's one on, really, two. Tiki obviously standing, and he, I assume, backed me up in the spot. So maybe it would have been 2-on-2.
But
I didn't want to take the bait from Sean because he was baiting me. That's all.
Well, I think you screwed up. Do you agree he screwed up?
He just missed his team meeting.
Missed his team meeting.
Oh, good.
One last thing on the Knicks.
Don't let it happen again.
Never let it happen again.
Otherwise, Connor's going to be sitting there.
Wow. That's my guy right there. Can you pull up some audio for me?
Yeah.
This is from the broadcast last night. Not on MSG, but the Atlanta Hawks broadcast. Because something happened last night that I don't know what this is even about. But the Hawks play-by-play announcer, when Jalen Brunson, down the stretch of this game, was contributing to the Knicks losing. And he was terrible in the final few minutes. And that's okay. Doesn't mean he stinks. Doesn't mean he's terrible. It's just he had two straight mediocre games, including the close to this game. The broadcaster decided to take some major shots at Jalen Brunson. Take a listen.
Zach's second is short. Rebound. Hey, Trae Young has it. Trae gets fouled by the great Jalen Brunson. Whoa, Brunson has been upset all night. Dyson Daniels has shut him down. And now the foul. Brunson complaining to the official. Who do you know? I'm Jalen Brunson.
I think he just mocked Jalen Brunson.
Wow, that was clear mocking.
Yeah.
First of all, the great Jalen Brunson, clearly tongue-in-cheek. And then, boo, I'm Jalen Brunson.
That's what I do to Sean and Tommy. You know what that was, though? Knick fans, I'm going to defend you. He was mad. And you know why he was mad? He's mad because Knick fans took over State Farm South or Madison Square Garden South. Like, that arena was filled with Knick fans. So I think that it annoyed him. It looks like it annoyed Trae Young. Trae Young took a shot at Knick fans after the game. We're choosing not to play it because Trae Young is an irrelevant, mediocre, overrated basketball player who's got a very thinning hairline. So it's not even worth bringing attention to it. Because it was also, like, stupid. He's like, go home, Knick fans. Okay, whatever, bro.
People didn't understand it unless you were watching.
Right.
Because the game was full of Knick fans.
That's right.
And at the end of the game with, I don't know, 10 seconds, which it's on now right now on MSG, like 12 seconds, the bottom bowl is, like, emptying.
Exactly. I also know, like, my arena's filled up with other people's fans. Like, when the Knicks play the Nets, it'll be all Knick fans. I don't want Cam Thomas saying, go home, Knick fans. It's embarrassing. Like, they were in your building. So what are you bragging about? Like, go home. Go home. They just invaded your building and embarrassed you. So not in terms of winning, but in terms of crowd sounds. I know what that's like. So I think that broadcaster is just really sad that they were overtaken by Knick fans.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we're from New York where we're actually, like, professionals on our broadcast. When you go to these small market towns, they're homers and they do stuff like this. He sounded like a radio host, basically, mocking Jalen Brunson. Why don't you worry about your own team? Yeah, you won last night, and if Trae Young, who has a big history with the Knicks, he likes to troll the Knicks, that's all well and good. They won. Clint Capela has been a pain in the ass for the Knicks for years, so I give them kudos for that. But an announcer acting like that after you win a regular season game in November, congrats. We'll send you something in the mail.
Bush League. When we come back, more of your calls. Is there really any excuse for the New York Yankees to not bring back Juan Soto? Plus, Malachi Corley has finally talked to the media about his incident from a week ago. I wonder what Tiki's going to think about the way Corley handled some of these questions. We'll play it for him coming up, Bad Tiki, in about an hour and a half as well. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.